How do you know it's summer? Because it's hot as hell and no video games are coming out. We are talking about what we do over the summer here at Inventory Full. So please return your seat backs and your tray tables to their full upright and locked positions because Inventory Full is going down.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
What is up? Welcome to Inventory Full. What's up, guys?
Hey.
How are we? Good. Little folksy good. Intro. I saw a stand-up this week, and this is how it ends. Watch Nanette on Netflix. It's incredible. But how are you guys doing?
Good.
Good? Good. Good. All right. Guys, I am Patrick. I am one of your hosts today. I am joined by Stacy.
Yo.
And down there is the head, I was going to say head nerd, but like you don't like that. It's everybody else that's nerds.
Sure.
Okay, Nate Miller's joining
What's up,
us.
Nerds?
And it is summer. It's been a rough one in LA.
Oh.
Are you guys surviving?
Yeah. You know,
how has it been?
Schedule for the weekend down in LA.
Well, let's talk about this weekend first of all, because I want to get that out of the way. We are that is the theme this week. We are talking about the summer and how we survive it. One of those things was the heat. But you were at Anime Expo this week.
I was in full, very hot costume.
How did those things go together? The heat
Okay. It was very well air conditioned inside, but the moment you had to go outside, just game over.
It must have been awful.
Done.
For people who don't know, over the weekend it was in LA. It was a record breaking heat. Like, we were up well north of one. If I saw one more fucking picture of somebody's
car.
Yeah, the temperature gauge in somebody's car, I was going to lose my mind.
To be fair, 116, I'd post about it too.
It's aggressive. Did you see it at 116?
Hot. Yeah, I got bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did?
Oh, yeah. I live in the Valley. So.
And it was, I'm in Hollywood, and so it's like a little bit better there, but $116 is aggressive. Tell me you have air conditioning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank God. Yeah, well, no, you run into people here. Like, that is a problem in LA. It's not built for this. So I grew up a lot of years in Phoenix, and everybody's got like aggressively air conditioned houses, but like a lot of places here, because SoCal's so temperate, like, they don't have that, and it's a nightmare.
That's fair. Nothing like it was in London, though. When I was there it was a heat wave when I was there a couple weeks ago.
Oh, is that right?
It was not even as hot as it was this weekend, but yep. I was infinitely more comfortable this entire weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
All right. Yeah,
so,
guys,
so we're pretty well prepared.
Steve in the booth, what's up? It was reported on the local news that many parts in the Los Angeles area on Friday were without power. It affected 35,000 people.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I can't even imagine the... Oh.
That was the 116 day. That was definitely the 116 day.
And it was like, it was a weird weekend for me to be in town because like I'm on the road a lot, right? And there are plenty of weekends I miss. I'm in other parts of the country, but I'm like, I'm going to be in LA. I'm going to enjoy the weekend, play some games. And it provided a good excuse to be indoors for sure. But let's talk about Anime Expo a little bit. I know... We're not an anime show necessarily. I couldn't tell you the first thing about anime, but I think in a Venn diagram of like interest, there's a pretty good bit of overlap. Stacey, you not only were there, but played some games. So tell us about like the convention, but also like I want to hear about what you played there.
So Anime Expo is a very, very crowded place, but it's also a very fun place. Everyone there is really passionate about what they're there for.
Yeah,
and
there is
quite a melding now of anime and video games, whether it's anime-inspired video games, which have a lot of demos, or even more kind of classically video games. I mean, Blizzard had a huge presence there.
Yeah.
Which they had a payload tour, which was a lot of fun.
Wait, what is the payload tour?
It's like this photo op that you do. So it's this 360 like video that you take.
I saw about 45 of them.
Props,
dude. Yours was great. Yours was the first one I think I saw, and then I kept seeing them pop up. I'm like, oh, that's where that is. Got it.
Yeah. So that was lots of fun. But yeah, I did get to try out a couple of games while I was there. I got to get my hands on My Hero One's Justice, which is the My Hero Academia game that's coming out. It's a fighting game. I know very little about the mechanics of fighting games, so unfortunately I cannot talk to
a resident expert.
That.
Do you know this franchise name?
No.
But
I've seen two episodes of My Hero Academia. I really tried to get into
did
it.
Did you?
I really tried.
And no.
Did
not happen.
High school heroes. I don't know. It's fun, and I liked the fighting game a lot. They all have such different powers, which when they were like, oh yeah, we're doing a fighting game, I was like, oh, you're going to do all of these things that these characters can do in a game?
Yep.
They did.
Oh, cool.
It's really fun. I got
and
to face off.
And release date for that? Like,
It's coming out later this year.
Okay. 2018?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or very early 2019. I think it's 2018, though.
Right on.
Yeah, October. They announced it.
I love getting hands-on and things like that. That's pretty
really
cool.
It was really fun. I also got to play the Ruby Amity Arena, which is a mobile game that they're coming out with.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Yeah, so they have a big fighter game coming out, but they also have a mobile game coming out, which it was described to us when we went to talk to them about it as a card game. So think like...
Nate just tuned back in. Go on.
So you like get your decks together, you get all your characters, but then you load into the actual game, and it's more like a 3D battlefield, and there are sets of turrets that you have to march towards and destroy, and there are minions that keep getting sent out. So it's this weird cross. It was a lot of fun to play. So you again get all of the different Ruby characters, villains and heroes.
Cool.
And they all have their special moves, and so you just have to time it all out and work on destroying the other team's turret. Or you're playing against the computer, I guess, so work on destroying the turrets before they get yours.
A little mobish, maybe? A
little bit.
A little bit. Just sounded familiar? No.
It's like a tower defense.
Oh, got it. Okay, okay.
Kind of a thing. Yeah.
Okay,
at least perfect. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
Okay. Voiced by the original cast? Like, fans of Ruby are going
to
dig this?
There was no voice acting... To my knowledge,
oh,
we didn't.
Rough.
I mean, we stood in the middle of a crowded convention hall.
Got it, okay.
And played it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was more just like a little flashy 3D models, like yep. Doing their special moves on screen. It was very cute, and I can actually see myself losing a lot of time when I have nothing else to do to just like playing with that. So,
and it might as well be in a property because you really dig Ruby, right?
I do. Okay. I like Ruby a lot. Yep. So it's kind of right up my alley.
Fair
it was
enough.
Fun. It was a fun little game to play. And, you know, the people that were there demoing it were really passionate about it and really excited about it and excited that people wanted to play it.
You have to be at trade shows. Like, really, the grind of showing that game all day long, if you're not passionate, it's going to come through very quickly.
It's a long day.
It is, right? Just giving that same pitch over and over and feigning enthusiasm for anything that many times, my hat's off. God bless those people.
Fair.
You've been playing anything else? So, like, well, I teed it up at the beginning, like... I want to talk a little bit about, like, there's just a dearth of games. There's nothing going on, like, from a, like, major releases perspective. So I want to talk a little bit about what our strategy is over, like, how do we fill those summer months? What have you been doing?
I guess I've been playing so much Breath of the Wild.
Have you, really?
I've been playing so much. I have put so many hours into this game now.
Are you playing? So you playing on mobile?
I'm playing on Switch.
Okay.
I know you play on Switch, but are you taking it with you? When I was traveling, I took it with me.
However,
prefer to play it sitting on my couch in front of the TV.
Okay.
Which I'll do most of the time now.
See, that's what I did in London because it was like -20 degrees there. I was freezing, and so I was bundled up in a hotel room with my Switch. It was the one.
Yeah. I played it on the plane, on the bus. I played it all the time.
Awesome.
So I've poured a lot of hours into that game. And I don't want to, but I'm going to keep playing it.
What's the goal? I know we talk a lot about your completionist neurosis here. But, like, what is the goal? You literally want 100% this?
No, I just want to start liking it.
You're playing to like it eventually.
Everyone loves this game. What am I missing?
This is me and Nier Automata. 45 hours in, Nate was giving me shit. I was like, something's wrong with me, but it never clicked for me.
I don't understand what I'm missing. Everything about this on paper is exactly what I love.
I stopped playing it. I put it down after 20 hours. It's something about it. Like, I can see the game design brilliance in that game, but something about it just didn't click for me either. And I think that's fine, right? I think you should be able to put down a game.
I don't know. I can't.
Right? You don't ever deal with this, Nate. You don't ever, like, if you're 3 hours in, or do you have a rule of thumb, like, when you're not digging a game, how quickly do you put it down? Because I wrestle with it too sometimes. I mean, Nier Automata, 45.
I mean, it depends on why I don't like it.
That's fair. And there's never... You're crystal clear in the fact that, like, despite critical intentions, that if you don't dig it, it's just not for you and you're complete with that. You're like, okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not every game is for every person.
I agree. No, totally.
Not everybody enjoys the same mechanics, likes the same things. It was a lot easier maybe when there was not as many options. Maybe people didn't know what they liked.
For sure.
But now I think people usually have a pretty good sense of what they like, what they're into, what they don't like.
Yeah.
So I think people don't really tolerate it as much.
I wrestle with it because I think, like, I actually really like just modern criticism in general of, like, film and TV and especially games criticism because it's so nuanced. And so, like, when there is just this zeitgeist of, like, people talking about the brilliance of a certain game, especially like Zelda or Nier Automata. I'm with you. I want to find what they're seeing, and I'm with you, Nate. Like, it can still not be for me, but I want to understand why it's so well received. And I wrestled with it. I played far too, and this was my breaking point though. It was like I spent far too long in Zelda, 25 hours, and then another 45 hours in Nier Automata, and I don't know that I'm ever going to go another 3 hours anymore. Like, I think I'm just going to be, I'm going to take the Nate Miller approach and be like, I'm just good with not playing this game. I'm just going to like, I'll be all right with that.
Let yourself be distant. Yeah.
You playing anything, Nate? What are you playing and enjoying, Ben? Tell me.
That's a trick question.
I know. Because you have an abusive relationship with a lot of the games that you're playing right now.
Yeah. First of all, I would like to say that I've never had shared this opinion about there being drought in summertime.
Really?
I feel like this is a console gamer mentality. I have games to play all the time. I never could see that. I'm always getting content drops. There are games that are coming out this month and next month.
What big PC games are coming out? I just don't know. You're probably right. That is definitely a console release drought. Like, I miss Xbox Live. No.
Elder Scrolls just got their big expansion a few weeks ago.
Also a console game, but it's just not on my radar. Right. So yeah, I get it.
Warcraft, WoW just is starting their pre-patch cycle for the next expansion. So they just updated some stuff.
Oh, shit.
And then either on this Tuesday or next Tuesday, they're going to launch the pre-patch stuff, which will have like launch events leading up to when the expansion actually drops at the end of the month, next month.
Okay.
Yeah, there's things going on. You know, Destiny Forsaken is coming very soon too, and they're already launched the Age of Triumph stuff, the first rollout of it, and there's just going to be more of it as the weeks come in. Going to expansion.
Forsaken's September. When is that? September 8th?
I think it's
September. And I got to play that mode at E3, that PvE / PvP mode that they had.
It's September 4th. Yes. But there's already new content.
Really? I haven't needed to log back in.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, good. All right, so for people at home, it's clearly just a console problem. This is, again, another reason we should all join the master PC race.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, most recently I just have been... I went back into Deadfire and I loaded up my save from before I ended the game and then... went back and
would you remind me what Deadfire is? It's
Pillars of Eternity.
Oh, got it.
I know what Pillars is. Isometric.
But Deadfire is an expansion?
Deadfire is Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire.
That's the whole name.
It's the name of the game.
Got it. I just didn't know there was a colon. Got it. Just
it's
pet the two.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an ampersand.
Fair. It's an ampersand. It's an and. Okay. Okay. That's coming to console really soon.
Okay.
I know that's a big deal for you, but I'm literally holding you to... I know. Just like, but like
I know Divinity is getting a Definitive Edition, and that's coming to Xbox.
Okay.
I'm excited for that because they're updating the Steam version too, which is good because it needs it.
I'm definitely going to call you a lot for doing this. See, like, you guys don't understand. You're like my support group when I play games. I text Stacey regularly at 11:30, like, fuck this game. Like, what's going on?
If you can get even just one more person... preferably at least like two people to play with. You I think you really like that game.
I can't wait.
As someone who's not really into RPGs, just the way that the world interacts and like the way that once you figure out that, like, when you're presented with a quest, the most direct point from A to B is not always the only way that you can go. There's other things you can do. Like, you don't always have to kill something to get what you want.
Right.
It makes it a very interesting game.
I do. So, like, I am a hardcore... Like, I genuinely love RPGs. It's been a long time since I played, like, an isometric one. And so, like, for me, it's a bit of a throwback. Like, I'm actually really looking forward to it. And I hear nothing... This is one of those games that, like, I would be tempted to waste 20, 30 hours on because I want to hear about what the buzz is. I want to understand it. And so...
Well, Divinity's a lot more flashy than Pillars. And Pillars has a fixed camera where Divinity, you can move it around.
Oh, cool.
It's a lot
more
freedom. I would say Divinity, while it is more... It is a classic RPG... It's definitely a lot more modern in terms of look and features and stuff like that.
So you re-entered the world right before the end state or whatever, and you're going to clean up quests.
There's like a last mission where you have to sail to a specific spot, and there's an autosave where it's like, are you sure? Once you go from here,
that's back.
We all know that message. Yeah.
So I just loaded that save and just turned the boat around and went, all right, let's do some other stuff.
Just cleaning up old side quests.
There's
and
a
stuff.
Lot of stuff. And the other thing is when I did finish the game, it kind of gives you like a... You make the whole game's about choices, right? And like, well, things that what did you do given these different choices? And so it gives you a list of like, well, you did this, so this happened. But there's also a bunch of things in like, you didn't do anything about this, so they did this, or they did stayed the same, or this.
Oh, inaction causes stuff. Right. Oh, dude, that's
exactly.
Dope.
So then I was like, oh, there's that's all this really other cool. stuff that I didn't do. So I went. Now I'm going back and looking for that stuff.
Yeah, you're playing co-op. Cool. You playing by yourself.
No, Deadfire is only single.
Oh, Deadfire
Pillars
only single.
Of Eternity
oh, yeah.
is
got
only
it. I conflate the two a
yes,
lot.
Yes, they are very similar, but they play differently.
Okay, I thought they were both co-op. So, yeah, so I do that all the time. Like, I'm sure I conflate them.
I wish that they were, but also it's better that they're not, because the way that Deadfire is single player allows you to have more choice, in, yep. especially with dialogue and things of that nature. One of the things that is kind of frustrating about Divinity, or can be sometimes, is dialogue. Like, sometimes dialogue can be important for everyone in the party to hear, but you have to be like, one person will start the conversation in the party, but then like, you might be on the other side of the map, but yep. you gotta run all the way over and listen to the conversation to hear also. Or I can just hear it and I can just tell you.
You're like, yo, shh. He talks for 20 minutes and you're like, he said you suck. Like,
right.
Really?
Like, I don't you love like when language translators do that, where they'll talk for like 20 minutes and it's like, yes. You're like, no, that's not.
That is not
was not that.
In general, no. Games with great dialogue choices usually are single player games. It just makes more sense.
That's true.
You have, it gives you, it's giving you control over situations, whereas like, in a group, we could talk to the NPC and you could say like something really nice and be like super good guy, and then we could finish the quest and come back and I could be the one to talk to him and I could be like, no, screw you,
right.
I'm gonna cut your head off and take the gold, and like, and then it's like, well, now what do we do?
I'm trying to be nice. What's wrong with you,
dude? It's really funny. I went, I got a chance to see. Have you guys heard of this? Speaking of like decisions, have you guys heard of this Control movie? CTRL the movie. It is essentially...
I think I saw the trailer.
Dude, it's Telltale the film, right? It is a choose-your-own-adventure movie. You can get it on Apple. You can watch it on Apple. Literally, you can get it on Xbox.
It sounds awful.
You can get it on Steam. It's rad. It's actually really cool. So like,
of course it is.
I love everything. But I was ready to hate this because... I was. Because like, it sounds...
How much did you pay for it?
I didn't pay anything. I went to a screening in Beverly Hills. Like,
so did somebody else choose?
Yeah, wait. If
you didn't even get to choose?
Everybody in the room.
Explain, Patrick.
I know. I need to know.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Okay, so I went to a screening where there was like six other people there. It was at the WME building in Beverly Hills. And you take your phone out and you, on your screen, it matches, it aligns with what is going on screen. And as the decision coming up, you can kind of sense like the main character is getting backed up a wall and he's like looking, and you know, and he says in his mind, God, should I run or should I stay? Should I run? Should I stay? And then the decision pops up and then quickly times down and like, fucking run,
and then
go.
The room votes,
but it's fast and it's bad because like on screen it doesn't miss a beat, but you get a notification on your phone and the room votes, and you'll see in the bottom corner it goes run, and it just ticks off like what the room chose, and he runs, and then like some of the decisions were like really big and then impacted a whole bunch of the story. There's like 14 different endings, so a lot more to shoot for this kind of film, but it's going to be everywhere, to be in theaters in 2019, and you can do it now. You can get it on Steam and play this at home. And people stream it, like you can, they've got like a Twitch integration. I think it's really, I was very excited about this, and just a plug for some people I hope to work with in the near future, because like we're doing like fan controlled sports, and so our agents connected us and said, hey, look, these guys are doing fan controlled like narrative, and it was just Telltale, like do you know what I mean? It was like and it was, but it felt good in a way.
I would lead with the Telltale.
I know. That's a shorthand
really
for gamers.
I know. But it's not really as positive anymore.
You're right. You're totally right.
So I'm just saying.
It felt fresh in a way that, like, you know what else sounds reductive? You say, choose your own adventure. That also sounds lame. Like, fucking no. But the fact that, like, it was fast and there wasn't, like, a lag to it, like.
Right.
And, like, one of my buddies was like, yo, let's get this fool killed. Like, so it was like every decision, it was like,
that's
trying.
What I was.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he's like, no, do the thing that's not good to do. I can't recommend it enough. I was enjoying. I saw the first 30 minutes of it. Who knows? I could go very sideways after that, but enjoyed what I saw. Do you have a strategy? So you don't have a summer problem for the most part because you're a PC gamer. So usually you've never just, this is nothing. This is what us sad kids have to deal with. Okay.
There's always something to play. Okay. And then the majority of the games that I play are match-based games. So like League, it's like,
I can see that you play a lot of.
I never finish League.
Right. You play a lot of
League 2.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
it's just a new patch every 2
weeks.
Yeah,
yeah, totally.
So
a lot of those games is service.
Yeah,
I'm a bit more of a narrative gamer. I do like.
Right.
So I'm looking for the new hotness, and I struggle with this because I think the last couple of years we haven't hit it as hard as we have this summer. So because like right now, like we don't have anything really major hitting till September. Not we've got like life. Tomb Raider. We've got
Warcraft Battle for Azeroth.
Yeah, I'm just talking about like, console nerds. Tomb Raider and then the Destiny thing. But like, there is nothing hitting until September. Like, there's July, August is a graveyard. So what I've been doing is like, I think I played as much Assassin's Creed Origins as I'm going to play. I think I've like, I get it. Like, I played a lot of the DLC, fought a lot of pharaohs in the afterlife. And I'm just like, okay, it's another flaming sword. If I see one more, like...
You need as many flaming swords as you possibly can.
If I see that little kid vendor one more time, be like, I kind of love him, but like, I kind of hit the saturation point. I was literally sitting there, and I got off a plane, I got home, it was like 11:45, and I could go to bed like a responsible human being, or I could play some games and unwind for an hour.
Obvious
and
choice.
I booted up. So I was like, what I wanted to do was go back and talk. Like, there's these games that I always play, and then I go, God, one day I want to play this again. And then I don't fucking ever. I've played like three games twice, many of that. Bioshock Infinite, and Last of Us are the games that I've played a second time. Strong narrative games. But I love the Arkham stuff, so I went back and I'm playing the remaster of Arkham City, which has been interesting going back, especially because I know how it ends and where this is all going. And it's a weird... It's a weird thing. Like, we didn't have access to all these remasters a year ago. Refaction Oregon, Refaction Oregon. I literally called it Oregon. The remastered edition is coming out, which, I don't know. Red Faction, I don't know if that holds up. But, like, I don't know. That was, in short, was my strategy. I'm playing a lot of the remasters. Do you have anything you're going to try and get to?
I mean, I've got a backlog. I still haven't finished the Origins DLC. I started the Witcher series, so I'm going to play my way through those.
You're going 1, 2, and 3?
I am starting with 1. I started Stop. 1. I'm doing it. Okay. I'm going to
no
do
way
it.
You make
Never.
It good.
There's no way.
I'm going to...
you and I, yeah, I agree. I'm taking
there's
that
no
bet.
Way
I am with you.
There,
she
game.
Doesn't. There's no way.
There's
you
no
know,
way.
You know what? Now, just because you
yeah,
naysayers,
like,
I'm going to do
guys.
It.
Yeah. Okay.
Just to spite you, I'm okay. going to finish that goddamn
yeah.
game.
Okay, you yeah. let me know how that goes.
Yeah, yeah. We should make a pizza bet. Like,
I'm
going
to show them. I'm going to finish this.
What
oh
happens?
My God.
What
oh my
happens
God.
To make it so bad? It's fine so far. Uh-huh.
I don't know. Uh-huh. I never played Witcher 1 and 2. I started with 3. I'm obsessed with 3. I think it's one of the top 5 video games.
I need to do them all. I have to go
no,
to order now.
I can give you a YouTube video.
I will tell you, 3 does a really good job of onboarding you. It's a lot of proper nouns, a lot, but you're used to that if you play Destiny. So many proper nouns. Like you learn that pretty quick. 3 onboards you pretty well, so I'm just saying, from my experience, I don't feel like I missed anything from catching
all right,
this. But
look,
I'm just saying, I'm like giving you permission. But like also, I don't want to take that away from you. You literally, I just said we don't have things to play. I don't want to take that away from you.
Yeah, so I'm gonna try to do that. We'll see. I also want to play the original Red Dead because I never did.
Oh,
so I would like to get that done.
I'm right there with you, Stacey.
That's worth it.
Yeah, do you want to jump in there, Steve? I know you were looking at that and then some other stuff. What have you been up to?
Red Dead Redemption. What sold me on it when it first came out back in the day was. Just the environment, you know, they really nailed it with a lot of detail. They added so many additions that they had. And this was before Grand Theft Auto 5 came out. So
right, right.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as advanced as that, but it was still pretty up there.
Eight
and
years
as
ago.
Soon as they added the zombie DLC, I was completely sold.
Yeah, I agree. One of the best pieces of DLC.
Oh, yeah.
8 years ago.
Agreed. At the time.
Yeah,
at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
At the time.
At the time.
Have you gotten
long?
It doesn't hold up.
Are you playing it on the Xbox One remaster?
No. Okay. I still have my PS3 fired up.
Oh, wow.
It's still on that beautiful
because they just
shiny
they
up-resed
it.
Oh, yeah, did they?
They up-resed it for the Xbox
One. Is it 380 now?
It's at 392. Yeah. Dude, it's in 4K.
But I'm all about it.
It is. I don't. I thought they didn't. Yeah, 400. Yeah, it's 400 feet. It opens up a little like QuickTime window. It's like a 280 by 320 post-it stamp.
Honestly, though, I don't know if I want to play that game in 4K. Are the textures even like?
Yeah, you have to download a texture pack. So but I still think like a lot of the geometry looks last gen. Like I don't know. That's
even
worth
the town size and
yeah,
like
totally.
And
it
like
still
the,
feels
the
yep.
movement and dialogue. Like I don't know. I've I. I've just played too many games like that to like. I just rather not do it. I'd rather have it in my memory because it just ruins the nostalgia for me. Because like once you boot it up and you see the polygons, you can never unsee them.
But she's never played it. And so I will say, like, John Marston's story is really rad. And so, like,
I think it's worth playing.
Right? Even if you're going to be disappointed, technically, I'm with you, Nate. Like, I can't ever go back. I like things.
I will not make it through. It's just a long game.
It is. But stick with it. And you don't have to 100%. I know you are.
Come on.
You don't have to 100%. Steve, how far into it? You're replaying. But Steve is a different case because he is replaying it, which Nate and I can't do.
I'm replaying a bunch of games. I mean, you're talking to like a Metal Gear Solid fan that will go all the way back and play like Metal Gear 1 and 2. That's part of
the tanker level just over and over again.
Yeah. You know, okay. So.
But when we're replaying games, right, how often are we like... When we say replaying games, that doesn't mean I'm picking up a game, I'm beating this game, right?
I'm doing that with Batman, but it's a remastered version, and it's Unreal 4. They've like changed the engine, the lighting. It's like it looks like a current gen game.
Because I'm replaying the
I'm gonna beat it.
Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
I've been replaying it since like
me too.
Yeah.
Last year I've been replaying. So I'm not I know what happens at the end. I'm not in any rush to finish it.
That's
you know
fair.
What I mean? So
but Steve, you're going to finish it.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely.
All right.
And you know, it's again just with the way that the summer has been, I've already been in the process of playing catch up since last year. I still haven't played The Witcher, so that even goes back further than
that. God damn it. So you waste all that time on Prey, my friend.
Well, okay, so with the sales around E3, right, I pick up Shadow of War.
Good man.
Shadow of War, because I was all about Mordor, and I picked it up after I caught word online that they were going to be removing the microtransactions of that game. They have already removed the gold, and they were looking at adding new additions to it. Yeah.
Which, by the way, can I say that was the worst implementation of microtransactions ever? Did you end up playing that?
I disagree.
Did you really? Like, no, I don't mean egregious.
I don't think it was good, but I don't think it was the worst.
No, I don't mean bad as in like bad for the consumer, but like let's pretend I'm going to put my game dev hat on and I want you to spend money. It's like, yo, we'll spend some money to play less of the game. Like that was what their microtransaction model was like.
Yeah.
Buy the orcs, which is the joy of playing the game. It made no sense to
me. But that's what it should be. If you're going to spend money to skip ahead, it doesn't win you the game.
Yeah,
you still have to do
stuff.
No,
I agree.
It basically just shortens what is the grind of the game.
I would have bought aesthetics. I would have, like, I was really into playing dress up with it.
I agree with you. Yeah, for sure. But I also understand the thinking, and I'm it definitely could have been done better. I wish it was done better.
Yeah.
I hope when they redo it that it is done better. But I also... I'd rather they do it that way than buy
being
a
exploitative.
Sword,
yeah,
buy
that's fair.
Power,
right.
buy
yep, yep.
experience
yeah,
kind of thing.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 100%, Nate. A fair amount of players have been complaining that the end game has required people to purchase the DLC.
It's just a massive grind. If you don't,
honestly,
not required, but it's made to drag out the end of the game, least until the DLC drop.
And you, like, I don't think that end game is end up being worth did you finish? Like,
no.
There's the credits, and then there's all of that nonsense afterward. And, like, I played a little bit of that because I wanted to see it, but, like, it just goes on almost in perpetuity. Like, there's zero reason to keep playing that.
So that might be changing.
See, you have so many things.
But
I'm excited for you. Like,
that's the question, is what are they going to do about, without being able to buy orcs, now it's just a massive grind. Like, so what
they
do you...
they would have to have balanced that.
And before, you could get... That was the other thing about the currency system. You could get boxes and orcs from in-game loot that you acquired. It's not like I didn't use that mechanic also to get some legendary some occasionally, right? So
oh, I miss that game.
Now I just wonder how they are going to balance that.
I bought that DLC too. That's what I'm going. I've been scouring my list of games. And I'm like, what has DLC? All right, what game can I go back and revisit? This is what I've been doing.
That DLC didn't look good.
I played a good part of the first one. I didn't finish it. She's got her own moveset. The second one is the dude, the one friend, you know, guy McSorty McFriend. The black dude, he can die. So it's a whole different mechanic. Like, you know, like where like Talion and what's her name?
Galadriel.
Yep, thank you. Come right back. He straight up dies. And so like it's a much higher stakes bingo kind of thing. So I don't know.
That's so dumb.
It's dumb.
Here's how we're going to add the stakes. We're going to let you die. What a revolutionary concept. If you make a mistake, you die and you have to start over. Crazy.
And on that note, I've been playing a lot of Neo.
Oh, I bet. I can't ask anything about Neo, but you said one other thing off the air. You said...
Just Cause 4. Yeah, Just Cause You're 4. Just... I got back into playing Just Cause 3 because I got a PS4 Pro and, you know, the patch, the boost like mode, you know.
You broke Nate.
It's like playing a PS2 game for the graphics, but the gameplay is tight.
I locomotion in that game is real fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's underrated just in terms of the scope of the map layout, the way that the world is designed. It is quite immersive if you just kind of get over the fact that it's not the greatest looking game out there.
Yeah, it chugs. I thought it looked all right. Like it's good on the pro. Like its frame rate's tough though.
It's bad because it's not a game. It's just a big sandbox
destruction.
Well, for me, I mean, it goes all the way back to games like Mercenaries, right? So before even Cause came out, I was playing this game called Mercenaries. You choose like one of three mercenaries. You got this big triumphant music happening in the background, and you got this hit list of, you know, generals to take out all over this map, and that's what I was about. That's where it came from for me. So I'm all about it. I think it's great.
I think he missed his calling in life. Like he could sit, like I would buy if you were on QVC right now and you were pitching me this game. I would be like, what number do I call? I want this in my house right now. You should have been selling games for a living, Steve. Is my point. I would pay for that right now. So you're excited about 4 then, and you're gonna get that day one?
Yeah, probably, to be perfectly honest. I know they're hyping it up a lot right now, just with a lot of making of videos that, you know, some are cool to check out, but the game engine, just what they are anticipating on doing with the weather and actually having like, okay, just imagine this for a second. Imagine having a weather gun.
Tornado gun.
Now, we were already looking at, you know, a lightning gun with the DLC for Just Cause 4, and, you know, several other games have already done this sort of thing in the past. But a tornado?
I know. It's like
and you're flying into the tornado, and you're going to, you know, I'm just going to go over here, and, you know.
It's a physics gun, right? Yeah. Like, it sounds crazy. I know, I'm with you. I'm interested to see. I kind of am a sucker for, like, novelty guns like with the Half-Life, the gravity gun, and like I like dumb guns like that.
Yeah, just playing with the physics. Yeah. I mean, just letting the physics go crazy, you know? Havoc engine.
So
shout out.
So Steve, like really quickly, what's your strategy over the summer? Like when you're trying to figure out what to play, then you're going back through your backlog and like that, see, to your point, you're picking up games that went on sale and what games that you missed along the way. That's when you use summer to play catch up.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Fair enough.
Getting ready for Sekiro.
I'm so glad we have somebody on this panel that understands Sekiro and will be playing that. So that'll be good. So we have a slow news week, but we have a few items. So let's touch on those before we let you guys go at home. Top of the list, we've got Ubisoft no longer removing customization content for Honor. Nate, what the hell does that even mean? Please explain this to us. Break it down.
I don't really know everything about the subject. I just know that they had some cosmetic things for sale, mm-hmm. and they had announced that they were going to be like seasonal things, so you could only get them at certain times, certain windows, and people were not happy about this. So apparently with the backlash, they decided to just leave everything in the store. So it's good.
Permanently. There's no limited edition. There's not like artificial scarcity.
Yeah.
Like something like Overwatch does and people seem fine with.
Yeah. So I read through that entire thread. Yeah. And I mean, it sounds like the fans kind of threw a huge fit about
this. Which they do with this game. I mean, there's such an entitled fan base.
And so I'm reading over it and I'm like, well, that's.
No?
That's I don't know if I want
to. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I mean, Stacey. I don't know, and mind you, I read one Reddit thread.
Right.
Reddit is a very volatile and
for sure.
expressive
excellent place. Point. Excellent point.
Jeez, the adjectives we're using here.
I know.
I wouldn't say volatile. I would say it's an echo chamber.
Also, okay. Yes.
They're very
and it picks up steam.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I mean, so to me, something like that sounded kind of pretty reasonable. So. Was it that they announced all of these and the fans didn't like it, or that they kind of made it sound like these things were going away permanently and they didn't like it?
I really don't know.
So it's my understanding they were like seasonal things that were available, mm-hmm. and that they were gonna pull them out of the store, so you can no longer buy them anymore
at all. Is what they had,
and maybe eventually they'll come back, but they'll pull them to create an urgency, so you buy them now,
right.
as opposed to them just being there for whatever.
Right.
which makes sense. I mean, they do it in Overwatch. It
does. Well, and they do it in Fortnite, too. They have, like, daily items. And if you don't buy them that day, you just got to wait for them to come around. Which, if admittedly, I think is kind of dumb. I mean, well, I also think that spending $15 on a single pickaxe is also kind of over the top, but they're really cool sometimes.
Have you spent $15 on a pickaxe, Daisy?
All right, look, no, I haven't. Have I wanted to?
Yes, okay, maybe. Fair enough. I just think it was interesting because, Nate, you were talking to, like, off mic. I mean, like, I remember when the dedicated server stuff went down. And, like,
yeah, that's why. What do you mean entitled?
I think it's a fine line, right? Because I think you want to be, if you're Ubisoft, you want to listen to your community and give them what they're asking for. Mm-hmm. I just think they're specifically, and maybe that's just passion. They're just like, they want dedicated servers. They had that blackout. They didn't log on, and now they got what they wanted.
I mean, I think the cosmetics things is definitely passion. But as far as the dedicated servers, you can't. A PvP game without dedicated servers just shouldn't be.
I'm with you, yeah.
And especially one with the system that is that game. It's so much reading and reacting to subtle cues of like change in stances that if you see it late before it hits you, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
They've also been very responsive in terms of like balance changes and stuff when people find OP strategies that are abused a lot.
So I
think they've been doing a good job with at least listening to the community. Like, it sucks that it had to get to that point of a blackout, but also it's also telling that, you know, the reason why that blackout was able to happen was because the community playing it was so small. It was so easy for them to tell everyone, yo, we're not going to play on these days. Mm-hmm. And they literally had nobody playing the game.
Yep.
And it already had an awful launch.
Although they've gotten better. They're north of, 12 million players? Yeah.
The dedicated servers thing was a big thing.
Yeah.
People getting back into it. This is probably going to be another win for them. So I think they have nothing to lose.
Committing to games. They just won't give up on this shit.
If they play the long game, they can take a few losses and still end up winning in the long
game. Yeah, totally.
You know, even if they had a rough start, if they fix things, they keep fixing things, they respond in the community, that's going to generate its own buzz. It's going to get its own, in its own way, people are going to start playing.
I think people feel it for movie, like, across the board. So anyway, I wasn't surprised. I just wanted to get Nate's take on that. We've got Valve leaked Steam player counts, and Ars Technica had a huge article on the numbers of Steam, numbers of people playing individual games on Steam. We will tweet out the link. If you guys have any interest, did this story matter to you? I think why it's interesting is because there was a hole in Valve's API. Like, that to me was interesting, but like, did you guys care about who's playing what?
So the only thing that really probably would have personally affected me is the rarity factor of trophies and achievements and stuff.
Yep.
They're like, all right, if it says that this is rare, what exactly does that mean?
That was
kind of cool. I don't know that I'd actually like go in and start looking up all the stuff that I have, because that's very time consuming and I could, you know, play games instead of doing that.
Right.
But it's interesting.
Well, so what happened, Steam used to have the Steam Spy, right? Like, it was a program that would scrape their API and pull out report and like literally just provide as a service to people. Companies do this all the time. Like, Twitch has an open API. There's all of this cottage industry of people who pull information from Twitch and then repackage it and resell it for like better reporting because Twitch doesn't want to build it themselves. Steam Spy did that. They were tired of Steam was over them doing that, and so shut their access off. And now, like, publishers and developers are kind of in the dark as to who's playing what game, right? And so it was a kind of a cool new look. I think PUBG was third on the list, and so that was interesting to me.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting just to see the numbers.
Yep.
Especially raw numbers like that aren't like just estimations, actual numbers.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with that going forward, because they really haven't announced. They've closed that hole in their API, so nobody's going to be seeing that list anymore. So I don't know what their plan is, but if you're Steam and I'm Steam, I'm probably selling that to publishers. Like, and I know you get some rudimentary access if you are a dev on Steam. So for $50, you can be a dev on Steam and have some access. And I don't know if it's to your game or... I don't know.
Right.
Cool. So Anthem released their demo. This is the demo I got to play at E3. Did you guys get a chance to watch that full walkthrough? Like, what did you think of it?
I thought it was cool.
It's cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty excited. Did you see it, Stacey?
I saw part of it. You know what? It does look cool.
Yep.
It does.
It still looks a little doctored for my liking.
So they've done that. So I watched them play it once. I saw that at the conference. Then they saw it behind the closed doors. And then I got to play it. And I didn't play like they played that demo, right? Where she's doing that slow pan right over. And that other person materialized right there. The other part was like, you said that the fourth person joined. I started with four. So we went all at the same time. So anyway, that was there. I thought it was interesting too. In details that came out with that was like, my big problem was like the numbers, the size of the damage numbers, like when coming off of things when you were shooting them, it was obnoxious. And like it said the word combo so big, it really took me out of it. And they showed that they're dialing, not only dialing that down, but you have a choice to turn on, like you can make it more opaque and then you choose the size of all of those. So I thought that was good.
I feel like that, because that's a weird nitpick, but I was like, well, because that makes it seems more cartoony and less totally. Like you're in the experience and more like you are actually playing.
Combo!
So,
yeah.
Yeah. It felt like an arcade game, like, you know, from ways back.
I've had that in WoW since like 2008.
It's just combo in WoW. I don't know.
It could say combo if I wanted to.
When you managed to pull off that combo, sure.
I am still very excited. I was hoping they were going to show more. What I hoped that they were going to release was more of that, like further in that demo, or like a larger raid type thing. I was they showed most of that at the conference. Mm-hmm. They showed about half of that, or maybe at EA's press conference. Like I feel like a lot of people had seen most of that demo, but I remain really excited about Anthem. I hope it doesn't slip.
It looks cool. I'll probably get it. I'm not like crazy about it, but it looks cool.
I don't know that I'm crazy about it either, but like it's one of those ones that I really want to love.
It looks a lot like Destiny.
Yeah. But I will say it plays. The one thing I think was interesting is the verticality, right? So it's a whole other. And not in a way, like, because Destiny, you can jump and hover or whatever. Pretty much you're shooting along one axis. Like, this, you're shooting all over. And so to me, it felt so different than Destiny. So, like, I don't know. Games have good. This one just felt good. That flying and the way you click from. You jump up to hover, and then you click the stick, and he goes like this, and then you're flying forward in the javelin, and then you click the stick back, and then he like backs to hover, and then you can fall. It's really neat. Like,
yeah, I heard
spoilers.
I know.
I heard that the flying and the physics of all that was actually really, really cool. A lot of people who are checking that out behind the scenes were saying, yeah, the flying looks, I mean, it feels good to play.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. So
that's a great first impression to have for a demo.
Yeah, me too. They just haven't said much, and whatever, E3 was just here, but like, they have a lot to show about that game, right? A lot, because if they're going to get people to buy in. So they haven't even shown one of the four javelins yet.
Right.
So
yeah, we've got a ways to go to build up the hype for that game, or to solidify it as like something I want to buy.
Yeah, Nate, you're day one on that though, you think?
No.
You're gonna wait for reviews, see what people think.
I don't know. We'll see. I may get it the week. I may get it when it's on sale. I'm not getting it day one. I'm not gonna pre-order it.
I will tell you, BioWare's got a lot of proving to do. Like I thought, they're showing at E3 was. It was lame. We're going to talk about Fallout 76 in a minute. Like, that was an example of Todd Howard really explaining something. His 30-minute deep dive at E3 was incredible, and it's what I wish, it's what I wanted at Anthem, and really seeing systems and understanding it, but nevertheless, we didn't get that. We did learn some more about Fallout 76. What did we learn, Stacey?
The PvP version, or when you're in PvP, if you're under level 5 now, you cannot die.
Yeah, which is weird.
Okay, but also I kind of appreciate that because I would get the shit killed out of me regularly.
Yes, totally.
So that was one of those things I was like, this is good.
Yeah, so it's PvP, and then he also wouldn't commit to that, right? Like Todd Howard was like, maybe we're still playing with balance there.
That's right. They did say that could change.
But right now, that's what they're looking at?
That seems like it. And then the other big thing is we get fast travel in some capacity.
Which is okay. Why is this news, Nate? You look...
Because it's one of those things that taking from a single-player game to a multiplayer game is game-breaking, like Stealth.
Yep.
So, like...
Did you see the NoClip documentary on it?
Yeah.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very... Like, so I didn't realize that. Like, literally, I thought it was a Control-C, Control-V, right? Like, take the engine and add multiplayer and, like, the amount of code...
They did a lot, but...
The net code stuff was incredible.
But it still looks engineering like Fallout 4.
Still looks exactly like it.
Yeah. But, yes, they did a lot of work. I'm excited for it. I'm expecting more announcements like this. It's going to be interesting because the Fallout 4 market is... diverse. A lot of people like those games. A lot of them play other games than multiplayer games. A lot of them don't play multiplayer games. They just play single player games. So the idea that they're going to be playing a Fallout game and then have to interact with other players is daunting. So I think that's why we're going to get more announcements kind of clarifying things that people might have questions about.
Yeah, I heard there were jails. Is that confirmed?
I have no idea. That sounds terrible.
Oh, no. Hold on.
You see, literally, you can hear Stacey getting stressed.
I'm already stressed about the online component. I just want to build a nice town. I don't want to worry about it getting broken down every couple of days.
I think that's what I hate. I didn't like literally the worst part for me of Fallout 4 was the building. I thought it was terrible. It was uninteresting. It was not intuitive. And, basically, that's the game where they can eventually... I can work on a town for a month and then Nate nukes me because fuck D's. And I'm like, come on, man. Really?
I don't think it's going to work
just nuked
that
me?
Way.
I hope not. Really fucking Todd that. Howard, explain it to us. We need to know.
Also, I know, he explained so much.
I
know.
I actually don't think Todd Howard had a thing to do with that game. I really don't. I think that is their Austin team that's building that, and Todd Howard is studio head. But I don't think that is... I think he's all Starfield at the moment. That's another story. We have one more quick hitter before we get out of here. Warframe is coming out on the Nintendo Switch. You play Warframe, Nate? It's a big PC.
Nope.
Stacey, also a big nope.
Nope.
I played a little bit of it.
I played
PS4.
A lot of Warframe.
It was free to play on PS4. I checked it out a fair amount. It's interesting. I mean, some of the mechanics have definitely flourished over time. There was that recent DLC.
The Fields of Avalon or whatever.
Yes.
Totally.
And had a bigger open world-ish hub element to it that seemed really cool. There have been, the game's been successful enough to have their own cons happening lately. So
TennoCon.
Yeah, so,
This game is literally the poster child for free-to-play. This game came out in 2013. They've continued to add. It's shown steady growth quarter after quarter. They're doing a lot right. I dip back in once a year. I play a little bit just to see what it's like. I actually like the way it feels. And I don't think visually it was very impressive, but this last release when they did the fields and the it felt a little bit more like Destiny. And it's again, when times are slow, it's an excuse to co-op. I do it similarly to Destiny. My brother and my sister-in-law, we all just jump on and shoot some shit. And
that's the beauty of that.
And you're getting it on Switch. And I can't believe how... I've heard more people say, I'm finally going to play this, despite owning two or three other platforms where they could be playing Warframe. It's like the idea that it's coming to Switch means people are going to play it, and that is the power of the Switch. It's crazy.
Yeah. A lot of things feel worth picking up on the Switch just for the novelty of it still.
And it's the same... true. And it's the same guys that did the Rocket League port, so I don't know. By all accounts, it's going
to
be a good port.
I'm just not sure how much it makes sense to make an online-only game for a mostly mobile console, but... Okay.
But you can't play it at home without... You already can't play it mobile, and it's the same thing as like Rocket League, right? You can't play Rocket League on the bus.
You can't play offline against AI?
No. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you can.
I'm pretty sure you can.
Is that right? Okay. But the joy of that is it's a multiplayer game, right? It's 45 million players.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. But
that's fair.
You can load up in it and play and practice.
I could see that.
Your skills and play against the bots and stuff versus where Warframe's going to be you can't connect to the server, you can't get online.
No, that's fair. I wonder.
It's like
so many people are just hanging out at home. You say for the most part, you're playing your Switch on your couch. Right?
I'm sure some people are going to be playing it at home. I'm not saying that people won't be playing it. I'm just saying that it's not... I don't think that it's going to be the lead console for them.
No.
Oh, yeah.
But yes.
And they've already said no cross progression, no cross play. But I think with Fortnite having opened the doors open so wide on Twitch, everybody seems open to playing a free-to-play shooter. I think that they're going to see some traction. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that time for Warframe has come and gone.
I truly hope you go to TennoCon next year. I hope you're leading a panel on TennoCon. I was wrong. I want you to say
Fortnite.
This.
I know. Lover of
Fortnite.
I don't think Fortnite helped out Warframe at all.
No. Okay, fair enough. Steve, you pick this up if you had a Switch.
Yeah, probably.
All right, fair enough.
See, I have to give a quick shout out
Do it.
To Cuisine Royale.
Okay.
Which is a free-to-play game on Steam, which is a battle royale where you use...
food?
No, you use the name.
Like pots and pans.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and like it's really
real dumb
nuts. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, there's like bunny slippers that make you jump really high, and like ankle things that make you like run really fast. And,
do you
like,
play a lot of it?
I haven't played it actually. Okay, okay. I've just watched a video of it, but I'm probably gonna play some tonight. I think
sounds great.
Yeah, I think have a few drinks.
And that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, it does.
There's another one that was like that got a lot of traction. It was all like a ragdoll simulator. It was like a big physics simulator.
I don't remember what it was called.
It was them, but they made it. It was a battle royale game, and it was all about stupid physics.
Right.
What was that called? If you're in the chat, let us know. We'd like to know.
It was a super memorable name.
Yeah. No. Fair enough. Super memorable. We don't remember.
As we remember very well.
If you're watching this, thank you so much for watching. We actually have to get out of here. We miss Mark Donica, so follow Mark. He's at Mark B. Donica. Nate, where can people find you, sir?
You can find me all the places where people can be found. A dog like Nate.
My home address is 13470. No. Where can people find you? Dog like Nate? Find him at Dog Like Nate.
That's everywhere. Where you find him.
Nerds. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I'm Stacey Shuttleworth. You can find me all over the web at Stacey Shuttles.
And fair enough, thank you so much to our friends at Popcorn Talk for letting us use this beautiful studio. Thank you so much for watching, subscribing, all that jazz. And we will see you at TunnelCon 2019.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.